Pentecost is the completion of the 90-day Paschal season that we've just been through. 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Easter. And this is all about the Paschal mystery, which is the centerpiece of the entire history of creation. Now, last week we were talking about St. Paul's overarching vision from the beginning to the end. And he says that everything emanated out from God in the original unity of the three distinct persons of the Trinity, but they were so united that they were one. So within the Godhead, there can be diversity and unity at the same time, which is a little hard for us to wrap our minds around, but that's the mystery of God. Union. And everything emanates out from God, and it's still going on. The galaxy, the universe, the cosmos is still expanding. God's creation wasn't just once and he looked away. God is constantly creating, not only in that vast way, but also in each of the particular, unique little ways of you and me, that God is continuing to fashion us into God's own image, that is not a fixed reality. It's an ongoing reality. And so all of that vastness emanates out from God, but at one point it begins to return to God. And so the turning point is Christ. It's the Paschal mystery and the emanation of the Holy Spirit. So everything is being assumed under Christ's headship. And that's going on right now. We're in the middle of that. We don't know how much longer that's going to take. But eventually, St. Paul says, after everything in creation has been assumed under the headship of Christ and becomes one body, then he will hand it over to the Father so that God may be all in all. So we return to the original unity from which everything began. Sin, as described in Genesis, is the destruction by human will of that unity. After Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit, they immediately hide from God. They who were part of God, who reflected God, who were in complete union with God, hid from God, separated themselves from God, wanted to become autonomous creatures, no longer dependent on God, no longer part of God, but separate. And then there's another story in Genesis about the Tower of Babel. And that was our first reading last night in the vigil of the Pentecost. And the Babel story is this group of people were trying to build a tower that would be taller than any other tower on earth. It would reach to heaven, which is a way of biblically saying they were going to accomplish salvation on their own, without grace, without God. They were going to build a tower all the way to heaven. And not only would it earn their salvation for them, but they would be better than anybody else on earth. It was a divisive act. It makes us better than the rest. In that second reading, St. Paul describes all of the different sins that are sins against the Holy Spirit. Anger, resentment, envy, distinctions, you know, all these things that divide. Factions is one of the ones he mentions. Factions. The Tower of Babel story, God confuses their language to destroy the whole notion of self-salvation. And in the confusing of their language, it causes even greater division. It's a kind of a topological story to describe how we get so many languages on the face of the earth. But really, it's just a description of the divisiveness caused by sin. But the Pentecost story is the other side of that. It's the opposite. And so that was our first reading at Mass this morning. And the description is of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the disciples in the upper room, and flames of fire appearing over their heads, and a strong driving wind blowing. It's the breath of the Spirit. And so they go out and they start preaching, and they're Galileans, and so they're preaching in their own little dialect from Galilee. Not even the language spoken in Jerusalem, but their own little dialect that nobody else in the world spoke. And yet there are all those different people, Medes, Parthians, Arabs, Greeks, Scythians, on and on, and they're all understanding everything they say, but they're hearing it in their own language. It's the opposite of Babel. Nobody is accomplishing this on their own power. It is purely God's action. It's the Spirit. Not only on the part of the speakers, but on the part of the hearers, because gifted by the Spirit, they have been made open to receive this truth. Open ears and open hearts, transformation. But you know, every Sunday we celebrate this marvelous Paschal mystery, this mystery of Christ and the Spirit that turns us into the body of Christ. This transformation of every assembly so that we are in communion with one another. And our union is not necessarily because we like each other. And it's not because we wear the same type of clothing or because our skin is the same color or because we speak the same first language. I mean, there's a lot of variety in this room, a lot of distinction. And yet our faith and our hope teaches us that God can bring about communion even in the midst of diversity. That diversity is communion rather than distinction, if you see it that way. And what we have in common with one another is not all these other things, but it's Christ. We're all going to partake of the one body and the one blood of Christ. And we're all going to receive once again this morning that same Spirit, that invocation over the assembly that asks that the Spirit would make us one body, one Spirit in Christ. Now for Christ, this is all accomplished. He's already there at the right hand of the Father. He sits in glory. His body is one. It's all union. But for us, who are still locked in time, it's not yet really accomplished. We only live it sacramentally. We only live it in hope rather than in reality. But it's so desperately important that we celebrate that hope, that we give up on all of the other things that might try to bring us together in this world. Not that many of those things aren't important. You know, blessings on all who work for peace, blessings on negotiators, blessing on politicians who try to work compromises. I mean, all of that is incredibly important work. But we are here this morning to proclaim our faith and our hope that what really unites the world is the mystical body of Christ. What really unites the world and recreates the world over and over again until the kingdom is the breath of the Spirit. You graduates are all different from each other, and you're going to go to different places, to different jobs, to different colleges, to different trade schools, whatever, wherever life leads you. Even that is a mystery at this moment. What's going to happen to each of you? But never forget that you are one body in Christ. And that if we as a parish family have given you nothing but that, let you remember that you are one body in Christ.